I was wondering about which text to read tonight. I was thinking about what I wanted to speak about because it's something's been burdened on my heart for a while. And I decided to read to you the two verses in Hebrews 12 that talked about a runner in a race. But I also thought about reading to you from 2 Timothy, where it talks about us living our Christian life as a soldier. It says, endure hardness as a good soldier. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And I thought about either of those passages would be a good example of what I want to talk tonight, what we choose to carry with us. A runner lays aside the weight, lays aside the besetting sin. A runner lays aside the weight, the sin that besets him. A soldier endures hardness and sets aside things that he doesn't want to entangle himself with the things of the world. But I'm neither of those things. Now, as the example tonight, I'm not a runner. I walk, I shuffle. I don't run, and I'm not a soldier. I was never in the military. I'm not a soldier. But I wanted to think about where that might not apply for everybody else too. You might struggle with those illustrations if you haven't been either of those things. But all of us have things that we carry. The guys that've been working on the building. Everybody that's been working on the building, they bring a toolbox with them. An electrician will bring a toolbox, and his tools are different than a plumber's tools. Most of the time, I brought my bag tonight, but I'll carry around a big bag. I don't want to call it my man bag or my purse, but it's got all my stuff in it. You know, I got all my folders in there. I got all my audio, video stuff, and everything that I need. And occasionally, I'll go down in my basement office, and I'll dump everything out of the bag, and I'll put aside everything that I don't need and just put what I need back in the bag. And I was thinking about that for us as Christian soldiers, for us as Christians running the race to strive to win what we need to win, to honor God, and the things that we choose to carry with us. A runner needs certain things. A soldier definitely needs his armor. I know one of the Sunday school classes is talking about the armor of God. Spiritual warfare. There's things that we need to accomplish what God has for us to accomplish. That was my whole introduction. I'm already to my 5 points, so we're moving right along. But the first one I thought about, when we carry what we carry, make sure and you make the conscious choice. Do it on purpose, because if you don't, you won't bring it with you, just like when you pack a bag to go on a trip. Make sure that you carry these things with you. Make a choice to carry sound doctrine, what the Bible tells us, what the Bible teaches us about ourselves. Many of the testimonies tonight talked about this, but the things that we have in common as a creation of God, as human beings, as Christians, the fact that we're all sinners, the fact that all of us without Christ end up in the same place. All of us, no matter how good or bad we are by the world's standards, all of us without Christ end up in paying for our own punishment in that place called hell. We're all sinners. We're all in need of salvation. Whether or not we accept it or not is our free will choice, just like Adam and Eve had a choice. And when they did what they did, all the way first man, first woman. But we believe that as taught to us by the Bible. We believe it by faith. Faith is accepting what the Bible tells us and saying, I believe in that. We believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. He fulfilled the prophecy. He was who he said he was, and he followed the will of his Father. I talked to the kids in junior church today about sometimes even when Jesus prayed right before he went to the cross, he said, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus knew that he was there to do the will of his Father. We believe that by faith, based on the Word of God. Brother Leroy said that we have the Bible. I'm thankful I can go back and say, this is what I believe, and this is where it says it in God's Word. Carry that with you. You know, as a runner, as a soldier in the race, a soldier in the battle, a runner in the race, carry that with you. We believe Jesus is coming back. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Brother Clint mentioned tonight, we have loved ones that we know we're compassed about. There's a cloud of witnesses that they're already experiencing heaven. They've already been there. Heaven is a real place. Hell is also a real place. Three times in the book of Mark, it says, the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's important to carry that with us. The reality of heaven, the reality of hell. It's something we shouldn't lay aside. We shouldn't water it down or not talk about it that much. And I'm glad I go to a church where we talk about both. We talk about the punishment for our life for a sinner without Christ. We talk about the eternal peace of heaven for those that accept Jesus. And that's something we carry with us. That's not something we set aside. That's something we need. You know, if you were packing a bag to go on a trip, that's something you need to take with you. You need to make sure you have it. The sound doctrine of the Word of God. That's why we get together. That's why we have all these times where somebody stands up and says, this is what the Word of God says. And then you get God's Word and you say, well, yeah, it does say that. Or I never thought about it that way. I want to make sure that guy knows what he's saying. And that's why we have the Word of God and encourage you to read it. Because the sound doctrine we need to carry with us. Number two, make a choice to carry both that faith that I just talked about, the faith to accept what God says is true, and the action of love. Carry faith and carry love. And Hebrews 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that these things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Again, faith is the evidence. If you come into a building, and it's clean, there's not Cheetos all over the floor, there's, you know, there's not dust, everything's picked up and clean, there's evidence there that somebody was there and cleaned the room, cleaned the building. We come into this world, we have the Word of God that tells us. We have recorded history, there's evidence, there's order in creation, and we believe by faith what God's Word says, based on the evidence around us. Faith is substance, and faith is evidence. But love is when we take that faith, and we evidence love in our actions. So there's something, there's some evidence that's already there, we can't do anything about it, but love is our chance to evidence our faith in God in our life. The action that we do with our love shows others the faith that we have. The Bible says in Romans, God commendeth his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus had an action that showed us his faith, that showed us his love. And if in 1 Corinthians it says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. That faith should show up in our actions, the actions that we do with love. Sometimes it doesn't come across that way. Sometimes when we love somebody, we speak sternly to them. I've already experienced this with my son. Sometimes I'll say the most loving thing, but I'll say it the wrong way. And I'm still trying to express my love through my actions, but it doesn't come across that way. But it still is because we love. Even when we say it the wrong way, we're expressing the love that we have based on the faith that we have in God. So carry God's doctrine with you. Carry sound doctrine with you. It's not something you should lay aside. It's what you need to not entangle yourself with the things of the world. Carry faith with you and love, faith and love. And then number three, make a choice to carry a godly testimony in body and in spirit. In 1 Corinthians it says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And again, it's both. It's our outward appearance, it's the way we interact with people, and it's our spirit. It's the coming together and feeling that same spirit that comes from God. And both of those things are part of our testimony. And those are things that we should carry with them. We should be conscious of them. We should make every choice. Before we make that choice, it should consider the doctrines and the teachings of the Word of God. It should consider sound doctrine before we say yes or no. It should consider God's love for us and our faith in Him before we say yes or no. And we should consider our own godly testimony before we say yes or no. And many times, I know our pastor has said, there's many choices in life. He thinks about, how will that affect the little boys and girls that look up to me and call me pastor? The choice I'm about to make, how does that affect my testimony, in my spirit, in my body, the choices that I'm about to make. And we should carry that with us. It might feel heavy sometimes, it might feel like a great responsibility, but that's something we should never set down. It's something we should never put aside because it's important. Because the goal that was saying about, the goal that we're working toward is worth the burden, is worth the carrying of important things that we should not set aside. But it's a choice that you make. Choose what you will carry. Choose to carry faith, choose to carry sound doctrine, and choose to carry that godly testimony both in your spirit and in your body. Number four, make a choice to fight clutter and remove the hypocrisy. I talked about that bag that you imagine carrying if you're going on a trip and you pack your bag. The things that you put in your bag are just as important as the things that you do not put in. And you might have experienced this with your own kids. They get to a certain age and you say, all right, I'll let you pack your own bag. You can put your own stuff in. You need to have clothes for every day. You need to have pajamas. You need your toothbrush. You know, you give them some pointers and then you let them pack their own bag. And then you get wherever you're going and they brought 14 toys. They forgot underwear. You know, like they didn't pack a very good bag. So the things that you put in are just as important as the things that you leave out. And for us as Christians, if we're getting people to, in the presence of Jehovah, if we're getting people the Great Commission, teaching them to observe all things that Jesus commanded, if we're trying to do that, then the things that we carry with us are just as important as the things that we leave behind, the besetting sin, the weights that bring us down, the weights and the sins that drag us down. In James, he says, have not respect of persons. He's talking about how you treat one person better because of the way that they look or the way that they smell or who their friends are. And he says that's wrong. He said, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye despise the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? And I think all of us are guilty of this. We'll treat people differently based on what we think their influence is, what we think their power or prosperity. We'll treat people differently, not based on godly things, but based on hypocrisy, based on how we feel about it. And God is not a respecter of persons. And if we're going to carry all these good things, we don't have room to be a hypocrite. We don't have room to treat people differently based on our own opinions. We don't have room to despise the poor. We were talking about, not all of us are very rich, but we don't have room to despise the poor and treat the rich like they're better people because, again, going back to that sound doctrine, we're all sinners. We're all headed the same place without Jesus. Whether you go there from a mansion or go there from a shack, you're all in the same boat without Christ. And that's something you don't need to carry with you. Hypocrisy, a form of godliness without the power. Turn away from that. Get rid of the hypocrisy when you're determining other people's motives. You know what? We like to say, well, my intentions were pure. You know, like when I yell at my kid, my intentions were pure. I love him. But when somebody else yells at my kid, well, they just want to ruin his life and hurt him. No, I'm hypocritical when I judge somebody else's reaction. If I'm not getting to the core of it, I'm hypocritical. I'm writing somebody off. And that's not my place to do that. That's God's place to do that. Having that form without the power. Jesus said in Matthew 7, he said, when you're judging somebody, make sure you get the beam out of your own eye before you remove the mote or the little speck of dust out of your neighbor's. Don't be a hypocrite when it comes to other people. Don't put more judgment on somebody else than you'd be willing to put on yourself and say, well, I don't even look at myself that closely as I'm judging someone else. If we're going to win the race, if we're going to fight the battle, we can't carry that hypocrisy with us. We can't carry that double-minded way, that double-minded or having two ways that you judge people instead of judging people and judging yourself by the word of God. Instead of having one standard, we have many standards. That's hypocritical, and we can't carry that with us. The last one, make a choice, number 5, to carry God's desires and not your own. I was trying to structure this, so I spent the most time on this last point. Make a choice to carry God's desires and not your own. Over and over in the Bible, there's many examples of people that followed God right away. There's other examples where people didn't get the point, and they didn't follow God right away. When Samuel was a young man, God called him 4 times. He didn't recognize it until Eli said, it's the Lord. Next time, when that voice speaks, respond to it as if it's God. Jonah, out of rebellion, knew exactly what God wanted him to do, said go to Nineveh, but he didn't take it seriously until he was in the belly of the big fish. He didn't take that first call seriously, and the Bible says that God came again to him and called him again. Gideon said, I'm not the right guy. He argued, he questioned, he made excuses, and he asked God to show him again, give him another sign. Moses and Aaron made excuses, Saul and David and the kings, and many had doubts, but God still chose to use them. And I believe for us today, we can learn from their example. Are my excuses better than the Apostle Paul? Are my excuses for not going and telling people better than Jonah's excuse? Are my excuses for not being the leader that God wants me to be? Are my excuses better than Gideon's excuses? Are they more complicated? Are they more, this day and age that we live in? Are the things that keep me from serving God better than the excuses that the men and women of the Bible gave? And of course not, they're not. You know, they're all the same excuses, all the same doubts that we have that they had then. And we can learn from them to not make the same excuses. If God was faithful to them, to call them and give them something to do, he is faithful to us. And for us as Christians, we should learn from their example. We should say, I don't have to be like Jonah. I don't have to go the wrong direction and have God, supernaturally move me back to where I'm supposed to be. I'm just going to answer the first time. I don't have to be like some of these other guys and say, I don't have to doubt. I know what God is telling me, and I just need to respond to it. We still do that, but we don't have to. And James tells us, don't say, tomorrow I will go and do such and such a thing. It's James chapter 4. He says, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And then he says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. And then this last verse, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So I was thinking about the example of Jonah. Jonah was the guy in the Bible that got swallowed by the big fish. If there had been another guy in the Bible before Jonah that had disobeyed God, went the wrong direction, got ate by a big fish, do you think there's a chance that when God came to Jonah and said, hey, I want you to go to this city and preach, maybe he would have thought about that other guy that came before him and said, you know what, I'm not going to be like that guy, I'm just going to go ahead and do what God says. Well, that person is us. We have these examples, and we can say, if it's God's will, I will go ahead and do that. If I know to do good, I'm going to go ahead and do it, and if I don't do it, it's sin. Since I have these examples, I can just do what I need to do. And this is true in my own life. I've told many of you, but I've stopped praying for what I think is best, especially on a personal level. Because anytime I make a plan, it doesn't work out that way. Every time I pray and say, God, this is what I want to happen, it doesn't exactly work out that way. I use the example of our kids. We had a decision. My sister and I got along real well, so we said we'll have 2 kids 4 years apart, and that'll be all. And so we decided Arnie was our last kid. I know Dad has told some of you this story. I won't give you all the details. But one thing happened that was came about, and it was enough to tell us that our plan wasn't working out. And me and my doubt said, well, that one thing that happened isn't enough for me to say that my plan's not the plan we should have. I still want 2 kids, us 4, no more, and that's plain. Well, then another thing supernaturally happened that should not have happened. And so again, God said, oh, well, I already told you one time. You said if this happened, you take that as a sign. And I didn't take it as a sign because I was like Gideon. And then God said, all right, well, then this is going to happen. And then it almost struck me, like, how much more do you need somebody to tell you that your plan is not the same as God's plan? So now that we've gone ahead and stepped and leaped out in faith and said, all right, we'll have another child. It's been interesting, the comments. People have told me that now we'll have an odd number so we can have even numbers. We can have another one. Somebody told me that 7 is God's number, so why would we want to stop at 3? So I've heard different things. But faith says, if God makes it evident to me, if God makes it clear to me, then I'll do what God wants me to do. And in our doubt, we limit God. In our doubt, we limit what God wants to do in our life. So again, James said, if you know to do good and you do it not, to him it is sin. And don't pray for what you want. Pray for God's will to be done. In the good situations, which kids are great, but in the bad situations too. If there's somebody that you're praying for, say, this is what I want. It's perfectly fine to say, God, this is what I want. But it's better to pray for God's will to be done. Because every time, God's will is what you want. You just don't know it yet. You don't know what you want until God tells you, this is my will. And of course, you want God's will for your life. In Psalms, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord,
and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So tonight, get that picture and we'll be done. You have something that you carry with you. You have your toolbox, you have your purse, you have your man bag, you have your soldier's trunk, whatever it is. What are you going to carry in there? What's worth putting in the box? What's worth putting in the bag? And what are you going to lay aside? Choose what you're going to carry. Choose the sound doctrine. Make a choice to choose the Word of God, the sound doctrine. Don't water it down. Keep it with you. Make a choice to carry the faith and the love that shows up in our actions. Make a choice to carry a godly testimony. Every choice that you make, don't ever set that testimony down and say, I'm not going to worry about it as I choose this choice. Carry it always with you. Say, it's not ever going to leave my possession. I'm never putting this testimony down. Make a choice to remove hypocrisy. And again, this is a daily thing. It's not just something that you do and say, I'm not going to do that anymore. You just say, I'm being a hypocrite in this specific situation. I need to make a choice to get that back out of the bag. I've got junk back in my bag. I need to get it out. And then make a choice to carry God's desires and not your own. Again, I want God's will for my life. If I don't know what that is, I'm not going to pray for what I want. I'm going to pray that God's will would be done. Again, Christ, even Jesus Christ said, not my will, but thine be done. How much more so should that, as sinful men and women, be to say to God every day, not my will, but thine be done. So what are you carrying tonight? What are you going to take home with you tonight and say, this isn't leaving, and I'm carrying it with me, and this I'll set aside. Let's have a word of prayer. We have an invitation. Something I said touched your heart, or something you thought of that you need to get right. We have a few minutes of every service to have an invitation where you can pray and get it right. So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for showing us your grace. Thank you for giving us these examples in the Bible of a soldier, of a runner, of somebody that's going somewhere, somebody that's trying to accomplish a goal, somebody that's trying to win a battle. Thank you that we don't have to entangle ourselves with the things of the world. Thank you that you have given us every good and right thing that we need. Help us to carry it with us. Help us to use it. Help us to share it with other people. Help us to never put it down. I pray you bless this invitation. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.